Well, the gravity of the Flint water crisis made last evening's State of the State address from Governor Rick Snyder his most closely watched ever. In it, the governor apologized again for the situation and said he takes full responsibility for it. Other highlights: he said he would release all of his emails involving Flint from 2014 and 2015. He pledged $28 million of state money to resolve the situation, and he said that that wouldn't be the last appropriation. In closing, he said the people of Michigan should hold him responsible for the outcome. Several times, the governor sounded nervous and emotional, his voice faltering. To share their thoughts and responses to the address, we welcome two guests and a state capitol journalist. Representative Tim Grimal of Auburn Hills is the House Democratic leader from the 29th District. Welcome back, Tim.
Great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Representing the state's 98th House District, Republican Gary Glenn of Midland. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And also here to offer questions for our guests, the Detroit News' Chad Livengood. Chad, welcome back.
Glad to be here, Mark.
And there is what Rick Snyder said, what he said, and how he said it last night. Both are very important. He was obligated, it seems, to sound contrite and apologetic, and a number of times he did. Let's listen to a bit of that.
To you, the people of Flint, I say tonight, as I have before, I am sorry and I will fix it. No citizen of this great state should endure this kind of catastrophe. Government failed you, federal, state, and local leaders, by breaking the trust you placed in us. I'm sorry most of all that I let you down. You deserve better. You deserve accountability. You deserve to know that the buck stops here with me.
Tim Grimal, let's talk about the tone that the governor struck as opposed to what he said. Not what he said, but how he said it. Did the Flint portion of the address have the appropriate tone overall?
Well, I think in terms of the tone, it had the appropriate tone, and certainly I'll take his apology at face value and assume that he's sorry. I think we need to see more in the way of concrete actions to really see his actions comport with his apology.
Gary Glenn, what do you think? Did he strike the right tone?
Well, I thought he did strike the right tone. I thought his apology was appropriate. He said the buck stops here. He's the governor. He's the chief executive officer. So the failures of some of the state agencies, he acknowledged, apologized. And, you know, it seems to me like he very clearly laid down the choice we have this morning even, is that we can continue to invest our time and effort in finding people to blame, or we can invest our time, I think, more appropriately in finding positive steps we can take to help the people of Flint.
But Representative Glenn, doesn't there need to be a real full accounting of who did what, especially when it comes to terms with the emergency manager who was in charge of the city when this decision to temporarily take water out of Flint River was made?
Yeah, I think there absolutely does. The governor has said he's going to release all of his emails. I think he presented a timeline, which you'll be able to look at and determine whether you think that's accurate or not. The Flint City Council voted 7-1 to make the change in the water system. The appointed state administrator was there involved as well, but you're going to have access to those records. But absolutely, there ought to be an accounting, and I think the governor acknowledged that last night, apologized. The point is, from this day forward, are we going to waste time looking backwards, recounting who was to blame at the federal, state, or local level, or are we going to focus our efforts on taking the steps we need to make sure everybody in Flint is safe?
The Detroit Free Press's entire Sunday editorial, quite a few column inches, was about the importance of releasing the emails. The governor said last night that he would do this. Tim Grimal, what do you take away from this willingness to release these emails?
Well, let me first say that there's no question that the most urgent task is for all of us to work together in a bipartisan way to solve this problem. But Chad's absolutely right that we also need to have a better understanding of how this happened so that we can avoid it happening in the future. Certainly getting the governor's emails is an important first step, but we need a full release and full disclosure of all the relevant documents here, not just the governor's personal emails that he himself was on, but all emails and correspondence from his administration and all documents that relate to the Flint water crisis.
What action steps do you think the governor's been taking right now in Flint do you think are insufficient? What are the shortcomings right now?
Well, I would say a few things. Number one is that while the governor has paid lip service to holding those responsible accountable, the reality is that the emergency manager who was in Flint at the time, who was primarily responsible for this, is still to this day the current emergency manager in the Detroit public school system. That raises very serious questions about whether the governor is serious about holding people accountable when he's continuing to allow them to run the Detroit public school system. Incidentally, it also raises serious questions about the governor's commitment to help the Detroit public school system succeed when he's allowing it to be run by the person primarily responsible for literally poisoning children in Flint.
Representative Glenn, do you have any thoughts about this, about Darnell Early being the DPS emergency manager? Should he remain in that position? A lot of people, including Ingrid Jacques, said that the Detroit News have called for him to be canned.
I think that's something that ought to be looked at, but I think it ought to be looked at in light of the kind of investigation or detailing of the record that you've said needs to occur. I think we've got the Attorney General, Bill Schuette, is conducting an investigation. I believe that's one of two investigations. So, Chad, between your reporter, your investigative reporting, and two, I think, investigations being done, certainly that ought to be an open question.
State Rep. Gary Glenn of Midland is with us. State Rep. Tim Grimal, who is also the House Minority Leader, is with us. And we're also joined by the Detroit News' Chad Livengood here reviewing last night's State of the State address. Much has been made of the communication that did and did not occur over the months. The governor got pretty forceful at one point about communication in the future. Let's listen to that.
For those whose mistakes contributed to this disaster, we are fully cooperating with investigations and will hold those individuals accountable. And let me be perfectly clear to all of state government. And in situations like this, they must come to my desk immediately, no delays, no excuses, period.
Tim Grimal, any response to that particular comment? There's a lot of confusion over when the DEQ might have said this, when the EPA may have said that. He seems to be rededicating himself to clarifying the flow of information here.
It's quite clear that a lot of people in the administration dropped the ball. But by the governor's own admission, he knew of the seriousness of this by late September or early October. And yet it took him more than 3 months to declare an emergency. It took him over 3 months to call in the National Guard. That is very troubling. I mean, there was a delay directly on the part of the governor here. Chad had asked earlier what we'd like to see. And one of the things that I was disappointed we didn't get more details on last night is what we need to do in the medium term and long term to A, fix the pipes in Flint so that we can ultimately continue to deliver water in a traditional way with safe, clean drinking water. And B, make sure that we have a specific concrete plan to boost special education services and educational wraparound services for those children who have suffered brain damage and will likely suffer learning disabilities.
Something that didn't get mentioned in the State of the State last night was this deadly outbreak of Legionnaires' disease, which they do not know whether is connected to the tainted Flint River water, but it is 10 people have died in Genesee County over this period of time in 2014, 2015. And Governor Snyder just got wind of it last Monday, according to his staff. So this is part of what this question was aimed at, or this statement was aimed at state employees, that he needs to be brought aware of things, not 12 months after the fact. Representative Glenn, in that context, do we need some new laws to get better, quicker public notification when we have a disease outbreak like this?
Well, I think that certainly is a common sense observation, but I think the failure here was the failure to adequately enforce existing laws. The governor did fire the head of the State Department of Environmental Quality. I understand the problem originated with a pH factor, the chemical composition of the water. And there's also some indication the EPA failed in its oversight responsibility. The director of the federal EPA has not been fired. Nobody's asking for President Obama's resignation. He's not yet issued a statement saying he's responsible, that the buck stops with him for any failure on the part of the EPA. I just think we should invest our time in finding every possible positive step we can take. It was my intention personally, because I think in positions of elected leadership, you ought to set an example. I ended up, without expecting it, spending the last weekend in the hospital, but my intention otherwise was to be in Flint with the National Guard, because I'm a former member of the Michigan National Guard, and the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee may yet do this coming Friday, and to be there, set an example, and help hand out water and filters with the police and the National Guardsmen.
And that's very important. I and others are going to be there this Saturday as well. And so, Gary, if you want to join us, it would be great to have you there. We'll talk off air about that. But okay. It's very important for all of us in a bipartisan way to roll up our sleeves, get to work, and solve the problem.
The governor alluded to this last night. Apparently, they've launched a website. Is it helpflint.org? I'm pretty sure that is the name
Help
of the
for Flint, I believe.
Help for Flint. Yeah, it is something very much like that. It shouldn't be that hard to find in an effort to try to generate this kind of support. Tim Grimmel, you attend the Quadrant meetings regularly. You must feel at this point that you know Rick Snyder to some extent. When he says he pledges to working on the Flint water crisis for the rest of his term and resolving it, do you believe him or do you hesitate?
Well, I think at this point he will be doing that. But again, he knew about the severity of this, even by his own admission, going back almost 4 months now. And he really did not have any sense of urgency until the past few weeks when the media attention really focused on this issue. So
now that it's there, what do you expect?
Now that the media is focused on it and now that his feet are being held to the fire, yes, I think he'll be focused on it.
Representative Grimmel, do you think either the regional EPA director who has admitted that they knew back into April and raised concerns and did not and stayed quiet essentially while DEQ went about its business, either that person or the head of the EPA, whether they should be fired over this?
Well, I've been very clear that government officials who are responsible for this disaster at all levels, whether it's local, state, or federal, need to be held accountable. Obviously, I'm a state official, and as state officials, we need to acknowledge the state's central role in this and make sure that we're doing what we need to do as a state to address this disaster.
Will the governor's performance last night, Representative Glenn, can the governor expect a break in the calls to resign, or do you expect a persistent call for the governor to resign, or will that hinge on his ability to address this issue the way he wants to address this issue?
You know, Governor Snyder is not an ideologue. He sees himself as a manager. I think he is mortified by this situation. But I think any call for him to resign is a non-starter. He's not going to be a quitter. He's going to stay on the job and do what he said he was going to do with the promise he made last night. And it makes no more sense than for me to sit here and waste our time calling on President Obama to resign because the buck stops with him for any action by the federal EPA. That's a waste of time. We ought to focus on positive action. Tim is talking about working together on a bipartisan fashion. I 100% agree. This is not a partisan issue. It shouldn't be used as a political football for political points. If we focus on the solution, Tim and I are going to be standing next to each other sometime this weekend handing out water in Flint.
Tim Grimmel, how do you respond to critics who say the governor should resign?
Well, I think there are a lot of open questions right now about exactly what the timeline is, what the governor knew, and when did he know it. You know, I do think that if, in fact, he knew about this earlier than he suggested and that he did not take prompt, responsible action, then yes, he should resign. But I don't think we know if that's the case yet. And certainly the highest priority is to work together to solve this crisis in Flint.
Representative Glenn, do you see the legislature taking swift action on these funding requests from the governor? And also, Representative Al Pashoka, has the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, has suggested there isn't a blank check here available. How do you see the legislature scrutinizing these funding requests and needs for Flint?
Well, first of all, we do have the benefit of a roughly estimated $500 million surplus in the current budget year that was not anticipated. You know, the governor talked about some things other than just Flint. One of them was the fact that Michigan is now number one in the nation in new manufacturing job growth, that from 2013 to 2014, that income growth in Michigan more than doubled. We're an economic success story and turnaround story. So that gives us $500 million as a potential surplus. And I believe the first ask is for what seems like a fairly modest $22 million. I would expect fairly quick action on that. What comes after that, we'll have to look at it each step of the way.
Should the state pay for the water bills of Flint residents from April of 2014 till to date? for water that they either can't drink now or essentially were drinking to the potential poisoning of themselves?
Well, I think that's an open question because the state ought to be looked at as potentially culpable. But you also, if I heard your comment a few minutes ago, Chad, you said that the federal EPA knew about this some months earlier than the governor says he knew about it. So then the question would be open, should the federal government play some role of responsibility? The governor has asked for a disaster declaration, which was initially turned down. I understand he's going to appeal that and ask for an enhancement of the federal declaration, which means more federal money would be involved. So if the EPA knew first, before the governor, who is it that should be resigning? Who should be first in line to be helping the people of Flint with their water bills?
Republican Representative Gary Glenn of Midland, Representative Tim Grimmel is also with us, and Chad Livengood of the Detroit News. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the governor's comments involving the Detroit public schools, its challenges. For my money, this was harder to parse out exactly what he was saying than it was in the Flint section of his address. He seemed to emphasize that the rest of the state is making progress, in his view, in education, and the priority seemed to be identifying why Detroit and other districts are not a part of this broader turnaround. He's appointing a commission to try to find out why. It will look at, quote, the obstacles that are holding us back. Tim Grimmel, what do you make? How did you parse the governor's comments regarding the Detroit public schools?
Well, I was glad to hear the governor acknowledge a couple of things in the speech. He acknowledged that even as our economy is growing, many, many residents are being left behind in that economic prosperity. And he also acknowledged the importance of education. Unfortunately, that rhetoric has not matched the administration's policies. It has not matched the legislative Republican majority's policies. We know that the key to being successful economically in the 21st century is investing in education at all levels, from pre-K through high school and at the higher education level. And we've got to do more to make higher education, colleges, universities, trade schools affordable to all Michiganders.
Representative Glenn, last night when the governor was talking about Detroit public schools, he renewed his call for the legislature to include in this reform of DPS the creation of a new Detroit Education Commission that would have the power to regulate and open and close both DPS schools and charter schools that are academically failing. This is not in the Senate legislation. Why should the charter schools not be on the same playing field as DPS when it comes to academic oversight?
Well, I think the problem has not been with the charter schools in Detroit. If there are individual charter schools that have somehow been deficient, then we ought to be looking at them as individual institutions. What has been for decades deficient is the Detroit public schools. The state of Michigan, in terms of investment, I agree with Tim, but we had the record highest expenditure ever for public education in this year's budget. And Tim, I think the budget passed like, 95 to 10, the school budget? When's the last time a school budget in the Michigan House invested or passed with almost unanimous support from both parties? Highest ever. So the investment's been there. Our school system has been performing in other parts of the state. I think one of the deficiencies is, we know that when, every child, every parent in Detroit deserves the same access to a safe and quality education. But when parents don't have the freedom to choose what they think is the safe and best school for their child, they're not going to get the best product. We need to remove some of the barriers in our state constitution. It may be done by the U.S. Supreme Court in a case out of Colorado that would allow the state of Michigan to financially empower the poorest parent in Detroit to be able to make a choice to take their child and put them in the safest and the highest quality public school, non-public school, parochial school, Christian or charter school. Put the parents in charge and financially empower even the lowest income parent, and then we're going to get a better product for the price we invest.
Tim Grimmel.
I was just going to say that the reality is that per student funding for local public schools across the state has not kept pace with inflation. So in terms of inflation adjusted dollars, per student funding in Michigan is still substantially below where it's been historically. And that's especially true at the higher education level, where even in absolute terms, forget about inflation adjusted, in absolute terms, we are spending far fewer resources on higher education today than we were 5 years ago when Republicans came to majority in the House and Senate and when the governor was elected. And how have colleges and universities made up for that absence of state funding? By raising tuition. We need to cap tuition and make sure that college is affordable for everyone, while at the same time increasing funding from the state so that universities and colleges can succeed.
But Representative Grimel, turning back to Detroit Public Schools in this current debate, are Democrats going to walk away from this if they don't get some type of reining in a regulation of charter schools in Detroit?
Well, I think the governor has made the case, and I think other advocates for the Detroit public school system on both sides of the aisle have made the case very clearly that unless we better coordinate the location of charter schools, the location of public traditional public schools, transportation between the two, that we're going to consistently see a waste of resources as schools open right next to each other, a continued siphoning of students away from the Detroit public school system. And ultimately, if we don't address that through this Detroit Education Commission or some similar entity, we're going to see the Detroit public school system right back in the same situation it is now, 5 or 10 years down the line. And so I do think that some better coordination and management has to occur.
Well, we have to wrap with Representative Glenn. I want to ask you, what is the attitude in the House right now, in your view, toward addressing the district's debt? It's about $500 million in debt. What is the sentiment toward Lansing helping out DPS with that debt?
Well, I think the sentiment of the legislature representing their own constituents is that our constituents are not of a mind to once again be asked to take dollars out of the classrooms in Midland and Bay counties, for example, and send them to Detroit. But we do face the hard budget reality that if a judge gets involved and the Detroit public schools do in fact go bankrupt, we could see the liability to the taxpayers of Michigan double. So it may be that you have to spend a whole lot more than you want to now to avoid having to spend double that sometime later if it goes to court. So it's a tough situation to be in. Everybody wishes that we could. I think the ultimate solution to making sure the dollars are spent most effectively in delivering the education product is to put parents in charge of their children's education.
We will leave it there. We want to thank our guest. Gary Glenn is the Republican state representative from the 98th House District in Midland. Tim Grimel, thank you for joining. It's been a busy day for you in particular.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
The media, it is always, you're always welcome here. Ditto Chad Livengood of the Detroit News. Thank you for joining us
here
today.
Thanks for having me, Mark.